Isaiah chapter 65, starting at verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And our New Testament reading this morning is from 1 John, as we continue our series in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 3. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask this morning that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that you would give us wisdom and understanding, that as we are taught by you in the Holy Scriptures, that you would make our hearts and minds open to receive all that leads to life and holiness through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week we heard a message from our Lord Jesus as he comforted and built up the saints to fight against the devil's antichrists. And through the rest of this letter, this is also John's goal. Christ's purpose in 1 John is to reassure and rebuild broken saints while at the same time equipping them to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. In our passage this morning, our Lord wants to make sure that every single Christian knows that they are one of God's beloved children. John's already made it clear in this letter that Christians are forgiven, that they're loved by God, and that they are conquerors of the evil one in Jesus Christ. And in this passage this morning, he continues to build the Christian's identity by proclaiming a most beautiful and astonishing truth, that we are the children of God. John spends time on this because he knows that our status as children of God affects the way that we view the events of the world around us. And knowledge that we are God's children also affects how we live our lives every day. When you're a child of God, You view hardship in the world differently than non-Christians do. When you're a child of God, you see things from a heavenly, eternal perspective rather than a temporary, earthly perspective. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, too often that doesn't describe us. Too often we get caught up in the temporary things of this world, like the stock market, wars, who's fighting who, elections. And in the midst of all these things, which are important things, we tend to get so wrapped up in them that we forget that Jesus Christ is King. So John's trying to raise our eye level in the midst of the difficult circumstances of our pilgrim life. He's trying to correct our nearsightedness that causes us to live like those who have no hope. John's trying to correct our spiritual vision to 20/20 so we can see our circumstances in light of that comforting truth that we are the children of God. And our theme this morning, the knowledge that we are God's children, forms the foundation of our identity. Knowing that we are children of God should affect the way that we think, feel, and act. And we'll look at this under three headings this morning. The first is confidence in what we are. The second, revelation of what we shall be. And the third, motivation for the present. So confidence, revelation, and motivation. Now in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we read, "And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming." This verse here divides the rest of the passage into two sections. It tells us that we are currently right now to abide in Jesus Christ and as God's children. And then it also points us to the future when it talks about the coming of Christ. So there's an already right now and a not yet here. In our first point, we're going to look at the now or the already and see the great confidence that we have that we are God's children. In verse 29, we read, "If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him." John says here to us that the proof that a person has been born again is found in their righteous living. In other words, if you've been born again, you are a child of God, and you will start to look like your heavenly Father. We've all heard that saying, like Father, like Son. Those that walk in the light, those that love their neighbor, as John told us earlier in this letter, are those who have been adopted into the family of God. It's not those with secret theological knowledge that belong to God. It's those that bear a family resemblance. And that family resemblance is righteousness. Now, children, sometimes you might hear from other people, even strangers, "Wow, you look so much like your dad or your mom." And usually you recoil and don't like it when they say that. Or you see a picture, or your grandparent says, "You look just like your mom when she was your age." Or you might have been told that your personality traits are just like your father's. Children, you resemble your parents, and I'm sorry, but you have no choice. And now that my own children are getting older, when I call home, I have to have them identify themselves because I can't tell who I'm talking to. I can't tell if it's my wife or one of my daughters. So my first question is, who is this? We can't help it. In appearance, speech, personality, even skill sets, we resemble our parents. As Christians, we know this to be true. And as Christians, we'll also resemble our Heavenly Father. And even though we're a work in progress and don't look like our Heavenly Father yet, children of God can't help but slowly over time, as the Lord sanctifies us, look more and more and more like their Heavenly Father. A Christian's physical appearance doesn't look different than a non-Christian's physical appearance. But they are different. And they think different, and they act differently. God's children think and act more like their Heavenly Father each passing day. And then in verse 3:1, John makes an amazing and astonishing statement that we are loved and children of God. He almost can't believe it, and he says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. John's almost at a loss for words. Human language can't describe the immensity of God's love for us. The love is proved in that we are called God's children. God has put His name on us and calls us His very own. And the amazement here is that God would choose a sinner like me and a sinner like you to be His own beloved child. And trust me, I'm not easy to love. And you're not easy to love either. Before we were born again, we were dead in our sins, deserving of death. We were God haters. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus paid for our sins so that we might be called sons of God and heirs with Him. God's love for sinners causes our Lord to proclaim when talking about us, "This one is mine. This is my child. He belongs to me. She belongs to me." And in our response, how can we do anything else but praise God? Like the authors of some of those great hymns. What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. That's God's love for us. Friends, if you have confessed your sins, and if you rest upon Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, your name is child of God, and a child of God you are. And this identity as a child of God supersedes any identity, other identity that you might have. You are first and foremost a child of God. And as a child of God, you no longer belong to this temporary world. And the world can tell. And the world can see it. So John says in the second half of chapter 3, verse 1, the second half of that verse reads, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." We don't quite fit here anymore. It doesn't quite line up maybe the way it used to. And it's because we're being prepared even now for the age to come. That causes conflict between us and the world. The world doesn't know us because the world doesn't know Jesus Christ. The world can't understand why you would willingly live your life in the service of the King. The world resents this. And they resent this because they're also creatures. And because they're creatures and created in the image of God and have the law of God written on their hearts, they know that God exists. They know that they should be worshiping Him. And to see you and your love for Christ is a reminder of what they're trying to bury deep down inside. When the world sees a child of God, it reminds them of the painful truth, and they lash out. The world hates the church, and this is why. That's why there's hate, enmity, strife, conflict. We experience these things, and we shouldn't be surprised when we experience them, because we don't belong to this age anymore. We belong to the age to come as we have been born of God and are children of God. The world, on the other hand, when they see you, they're just reminded of what they should be doing. And they can't stand the fact that their life belongs to another and that they are not their own God. That's what you remind them of. So it's no wonder that there's so much conflict all around us all the time. But even in light of that conflict, Christians, be filled with confidence. That conflict is there because you're a child of the King. You've been born again. You were baptized, and that made the adoption official. You've been claimed and redeemed from the age of darkness and been transferred to the age to come, the kingdom of light. And John explains the revelation of what we'll be in that kingdom of light. In verse 3:2. In verse 3:2, John says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." Now, in our revelation of what we will be, we see three things in this verse. We see that we're a work in progress. We see that we shall be like Jesus. And then third, we see that we shall see Jesus as He is. So after another reminder in this verse that the congregation is John's beloved and God's beloved children, he reminds them that we're not a finished project, that we are a work in progress. And our transformation, however, will be complete when Christ appears. But that hasn't happened yet. Right now, God is working in us, transforming us and conforming us into the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And as God's children, we can be sure that the work that the Lord has started in us, that He will bring it to completion. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." We're not a project that God's going to get bored with and quit. He's not going to run out of funds and resources to complete us. Even now, in this very moment, we're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And then John gives us a preview of this finished project by saying, when Jesus appears, we're going to be like Him. And we shall be like Him, not only in a body that's incorruptible and eternal, but also in our character. We will be righteous and holy as He is righteous and holy. And not only shall we be like Him, but we'll see Him with our new resurrection eyes. We will behold His glory, not covered up in a cleft of the rock, but we will behold His glory face to face. And we will look as He looks. This is the future of the children of God, being conformed and transformed into the image of the risen Christ. This is our future. And we'll dwell with our Lord in a new creation. The new creation was described for us in our Old Testament reading in Isaiah 65, where there'll be no more sounds of weeping, only sounds of rejoicing. That it will be a place of rest, blessing, and peace. Commenting on this verse on chapter 3, verse 2, Calvin puts this into perspective for us, and he says this, "For as to our body, we are dust and a shadow, and death is always before our eyes. We are also subject to 1,000 miseries, and the soul is exposed to innumerable evils, so that we always find a hell within us." The more necessary it is, then, that all our thoughts should be drawn from the present view of things, lest the misery by which we are on every side surrounded and almost overwhelmed with should shake our faith. Calvin here rightly points out that this vision of ourselves and vision of Christ in our future causes us to view the difficulties in our own life right now and our struggle with sin with new eyes. Our future resurrection at the appearing of Jesus Christ then should influence how we view the world, how we think, feel, and act. This should influence us. You are a child of the King. You are being transformed into the image of the resurrected Christ. When you're stuck in sin and discouraged, repent of your sin, taking comfort knowing that God doesn't disown you, and that even in this state, this temporary state of weakness where we sin over and over again, is passing away. Because even right now, the Spirit of God is at work in you, transforming you from glory to glory. And there's a day coming soon. There's a day coming soon when you not only won't be able to sin anymore, Well, that's the punchline there. There's not coming a day soon when you won't sin anymore. You won't be able to sin anymore. So it's not just that we won't commit sins anymore. We won't even be able to commit sins anymore. And that's an encouraging thought. And that's the image that we're being transformed into. So when you feel the anxiety of your circumstances weighing down heavily upon you, remember that you are a loved child of God and that these circumstances are temporary. The last hour, as John said to us last week, is at hand. The battle is won. The victory parade is around the corner. When it seems like the world's falling apart around you, don't despair because you don't belong here. You're a child of another world. Not a temporary world that's weak and sinful and evil and passing away, but an eternal world of glory that will never pass away. You are a child of the King and being transformed into the resurrected Christ, into the image of the resurrected Jesus Christ. So this not only causes us to think about our circumstances differently, but it causes us to feel differently. It causes us to act differently. And John gets at this in verse 3 when he says, "And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." The knowledge that we are the children of God gives us motivation for pursuing purity in the present. John first mentions hope here before we look at the pursuing purity. This hope in this verse is not a hope that says, "I don't really know if I'm a child of God. I sure hope I am." It's a hope that's a sure confidence that what God proclaims in His Word is true. It's a confidence where you know that you are a child of God, that He's working in you, and that He's coming soon. This hope affects how you feel amongst anxiety and trials. The child of God is affected by this world. We are affected by it because we live in this world. But the events of this world don't define us and tell us who we are. This hope helps us to put the events of this world in perspective. It doesn't matter if stock market is up or down, if we are at war or peace, if our president is a Republican or a Democrat. These are temporary things that will pass away. These things don't change our standing with God as God's children. This is how we're to see things from a heavenly perspective. And it's not because we have no feelings, but because we know that no matter what's happening here, God is on His throne working all things for His glory and for the good of His children. This is how we're to view the events of this world. God's work in us not only changes our thinking and changes the way that we feel in trials, but it also results in action, in pursuit of purity and holy living. Purifying yourselves as Jesus Himself is pure. The truth that we are God's children should make a difference in how we live. And when we think of our future and all the benefits that we have in Jesus Christ, and when we think of right now that we're being made more like Him, this is motivation for us to live and to be holy as God is holy. God commands us here to strive for lives of holiness. And as we do that, we will look more and more like Him, like God our Father. We are to imitate Christ and walk the path that Jesus walked. Jesus walked the path of obedience to achieve the purpose for which He came. He lived a perfect life. He was obedient to death, even on a cross, for the goal, for the end result, that we might be His brothers and sisters. And in light of this, we're also called to set apart our own lives to God, to suffer with Christ, to obey in Christ, so that what John says in chapter 2, verse 28, can be true of us at His second coming. Have confidence and not shrink in shame at His second coming. To pursue holiness is not to pursue salvation by works. To pursue holiness is to pursue likeness. To pursue holiness is not to pursue salvation by works. To pursue holiness is to pursue likeness. We are to strive for purity, not so God will love and accept us. He already loves and accepts us in Jesus Christ. We are to strive for purity because He Himself is pure and we are His children. The knowledge that we are His children motivates and inspires us to pursue purity in the present. Now, in the next section of chapter 3, verses 4 through 10, we're going to see a big contrast between the children of God that we've just described this morning and the children of the devil. But today, the Lord first encourages us by giving us confidence in what we are and revealing to us what we will be at Christ's appearing. Beloved saints, hear again. If you rest and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what He says to you this morning. If you confess your sins, my Father is faithful and just to forgive you for all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He says to you, when you sin, don't despair. I've paid for all your sins, and I'm your advocate before the throne of grace. The Lord says to you, you belong to God. You are a beloved child of the King of all creation. The Word of God makes it clear that we can be confident that God is our Father if we know and abide in Jesus Christ, His Son. And we also know the Spirit of Christ is working in us now, conforming us to the image of our risen Savior. And this work will be complete soon, as we are in the last hour. This work will be complete on the day of His appearing. And when our Lord comes in glory, we will also see Him as He is. And we will be as He is. We are children that belong to this age to come. This amazing love and truth, then, causes us to keep the events of this world in proper perspective, knowing that if even things look bleak to us, or if they look great to us, either way, we can with confidence know that God is our Father, and He's on the throne, and that He promises to only give His children good gifts. We have a hope and a confidence that even if the future looks bleak or bright, it doesn't matter. Because our hope is in something greater. Our hope is not in the future of this world, but is grounded in the world to come. A world where we have already been born again into, as we are the children of God. If we were to sum up the whole sermon here and the main application, it would be this. The foundation of our identity is not our birthplace, our political beliefs, or in the temporary institutions of this world. The foundation of our identity is that you are a child of God, that you belong to the family of God. This primary identity must influence every thought, feeling, and action in our entire life. And when we think of all that Jesus did for us so that we might be called sons of God, we well up with such gratitude that we're increasingly motivated more and more to try, by God's grace, by the work of the Spirit in us, to look like our Father, who is righteous, holy, and pure. And while we're doing that, all the time, knowing what we are, seeing what we will be in the future when our Lord appears, when that transformation is complete and we're conformed to the image of the resurrected Christ, that will be a great, great day. But until then, just knowing that that's our future and that we are God's children now in the presence, we can proclaim with great joy and confidence and assurance, knowing I am loved, I am safe, I am a child of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that even though the world is crazy around us and we see filled with worry and anxiety and fear about the future, help us, Lord, in the midst of this to take comfort in the foundation of our identity, that we are children of God. And Lord, let this also motivate us to live a life of gratitude as we strive to look more and more like our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.